Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, December 7th, 2023, and we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page XIX of the foreword to the second edition. Today's readers are reading the 12 Steps, Linda B., the 12 Traditions, Robin P., and reading the texts are Sherry Z. and Liz A. Our newcomer greeter is Loretta M., and making announcements towards the end of the meeting will be Leslie M. I want to tell you the numbers for the last two meetings. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting, East Coast time, is 20,910 or 20910. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting is 20,916. Or 20916. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome anyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. Our primary purpose, we take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Linda B. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Kathy, and thank you for your service, and good morning to my fellows. My name is Linda B., and I am a recovering compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for allowing me to be of service. And I'll pass.
Thanks very much, Linda B. And Robin P., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Yes, thank you. Thanks for your service, Kathy. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted service they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop compulsively overeating. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, carries message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films and TV. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Amen.
Thank you, Robin P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page XIX, the second full paragraph in the second forward to the second edition. Sorry about that. And again, that's page XIX. And to get us started today, Sherry Z will begin reading.
Good morning,
Sherry.
Good morning. Thank you, all the visionaries. This is Sherry Z, recovered in California, and so grateful to be here today. And this is the forward to the second edition, XIX, last paragraph. This was the substance of AA's 12 traditions, which are stated in full on page 561 of this book. Though none of these principles had the force of rules or laws, they had become so widely accepted by 1950 that they were confirmed by our first international conference held at Cleveland. Today, the remarkable unity of AA is one of the greatest assets that our society has. So first, just history. Is the International Conference was held July 28th to 30th, 1950, and they have no idea how many people would come, and 100,000 members came. And what was ratified there was the tradition. And the very first tradition was personal recovery depends upon OA unity, and the remarkable unity of AA is one of the greatest assets of the society. So this paragraph is actually extraordinary. When we say remarkable, they're not exaggerating. The traditions are not rules. They're not laws. There's not consequences if you don't follow them. They're guidelines. And the first guideline is, if you want to recover, you have to rely on unity. And in a world that is so divided, and in a world that has history of people that cannot agree on anything, here is this one thing we can agree on, that our personal recovery depends on us actually accepting the other for who they are. Doesn't mean we have to like everyone. Doesn't mean we have to be best friends with everyone in the room. It means that we have to actually surrender, or I have to surrender and say, your will, God, is more important than anybody else's will in the room. And I have to rely on everybody else saying that as well. And what's happened in these years is that people want to survive. I want to survive so much that I'm willing to forgo my way, how it should be done, because that actually will break up unity. And I just have to share that I've seen people come and say, I can't be a part of this. There's a right way and a wrong way. And I understand it, because that's the world we live in. But what makes this so miraculous, and truly it is a miracle, is that we don't control. And as a result, we survive and we thrive. And we realize that anger is, we're to be free of anger, as it says on page 66. So this paragraph that seems like a history note is actually one of real promise, is that if I can come to these rooms and truly believe that I'm not in charge and that God is in charge, that is what will save my life and everybody else's. And that's what saved us all these years. So thank you for letting me share in our past.
Thanks so much, Linda B. I'm sorry, Sherry. Not Linda. Sherry C. I'm just getting to know all of you. Thank you, Sherry. Great way to get us started. So now we're open for sharing, and I'm going to take the names of people who would like to share. And I want to remind you that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So, who has not shared in the last 2 days?
Could you please tell me which paragraph we're on?
Okay, I got none of you. Can we start one at a time?
Liz A, California.
Liz A.
Could you please tell us which paragraph we're on?
We are on page XIX, the second full paragraph. Who else would like to share? Who else would like to share?
Metris J.
Anne A. Who else? Many people came in all at once. Who did not get heard? Anybody else want to share?
Betsy H.
I'll take one more if there's one more. Okay, we'll start with this group. We have Liz A, Beatrice J, Anne A, and Betsy H. Please share with us, Liz.
Good morning. This is Liz A, gratefully recovered in California. You know, the traditions are, I looked up the definition. It says a system of beliefs or behaviors passed down within a society with special significance, with origins in the past. And, you know, these traditions, they didn't just appear all of a sudden magically into Bill's head and, you know, wrote them down. They were born out of the trials and the tribulations of the early AA groups. And they weren't actually written down until the, you know, the entire story behind them until the 12 and 12 was written in April of 1953. And if you haven't read the 12 and 12, I highly recommend it. I found the history behind it and how each one came about remarkable. I'll briefly tell you the story of Irma Livoni, told by one of our AA historians. She apparently was one of the first women in the AA groups out here in California, and she had sunk so low as to be a prostitute. Well, she got into AA, and she got sober, got a job, and then in December of 1941, around the time of Pearl Harbor, she got a letter from the committee, the AA committee, saying she was expelled. Apparently, it was because of her background of being a prostitute and being a woman, because women alcoholics were looked down upon much worse. She was expelled, and apparently when she told Bill Wilson about this, and apparently he just got completely upset, came to California, said, "You can't do this," and then she was invited back. However, by then it was too late. She was out there and she died of alcoholism. And, you know, so then tradition three was born, that none of us can be excluded. You know, all to be a member, all you need is a desire. Can you imagine if we didn't have that today? It would just, it would be horrible. Imagine they said no Jews or no Muslims, or, you know, it would just, so many of us would die. So, yeah, I just think that these traditions are such a gift to us. And thank God for the history of AA. And with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Liz A. Beatrice J., please share with us.
Thank you. This is Beatrice J. from Michigan. Thank you for your service. Very glad to be here. Oh, man, the speaker. I don't even have words to say after that. I mean, she was awesome. I mean, she touched my heart in such a way, it brought tears to my eyes. It was well said, and I believe it. God has to be in the center of the meetings, not our self-will, what we want, what we think, what we need. If the traditions are not followed, to me, that is not a healthy meeting for me. And there are a lot of them on the phone meeting now that is not following the traditions and putting their own self-will in there. And it's supposed to be principles before personalities, people arguing and fussing. That's AA didn't start that way. I mean, it was so much love. People, another compulsive overeater helping another compulsive overeater. That's what it's about. So I just want to thank the speaker. I'm going to hold on to that, what she said, all day long, because it was powerful for me. Thanks for letting me share in our past.
Thanks so much, Mitris J. Anne A., please share with us.
Hi, my name is Anne A., and I'm a compulsive overeater in New York. And thank you, Kathy, for being our moderator. And thank you for those beautiful shares. that preceded me and will come after me. Wow, you know, the traditions. I believe, like the steps, they were God-inspired. I mean, when you look at them, you say, wow, no leaders? No bosses? I wanted to be the boss, right? Until I did my four-step inventory. You know, carry the message for newcomers. That's my mission these days. Never have an opinion. We don't have an opinion, OA or AA. The anonymity, I believe that's so sacred that allowed me, a compulsive overeater, a wretch, to become reborn because I could share all the ugly things I did. And the essence is, I think it really gets us down to be humble. It really teaches us humility. And that when step one, I had to admit I was powerless over food, and I turned to God. And I turned to God every morning. I turned to God every morning to fill me and so that I could be an instrument. I could be a channel. And, you know, I used to think it was, you know, love God and help others. But I think it's to help God by loving others. And if I remain humble, follow these traditions, I'll do as well. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Anne A. And Betsy H., please share with us. Good morning, Betsy.
Hi, this is Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader from California, and thinking about the 12 traditions and the fellowship. It just reminds me, like, it's a miracle to be able to come here and then follow the suggestions, work the steps, and then not have to overeat today, not have to eat compulsively, and to have progressively saner life the more I practice it. And but it's just reminding me, like, you know, I'm still a spiritually sick person, even though, you know, if I'm receiving the gift of abstinence and recovery today, I could have problems with people in the meetings, out of the meetings. You know, I could have a lot of problems with people, and I do. And the 12 traditions helps us to stay together, to have unity, as it says, so that we can, you know, continue helping each other to recover, and we can continue to recover because it's so important. Because for me, the disease of compulsive eating was a lot about isolation, and then recovery is a lot about fellowship and getting out of myself, getting out of my self-pity and being of service. And it's not that easy to have food addicts come together, and we're all so different. We have different jobs. We have different belief systems. We have different religion and spiritual background. We have different politics. You know, we're so different, but we have this disease in common, and we have a common solution. And sometimes I just have to really lower my expectations. I can't think that people in the program are going to be so perfect, or that I'm going to be so perfect. Yeah, I got to keep working the steps and improving. But, you know, I'm a human being, spiritually sick and frequently wrong. And so I got to, you know, just do the best I can today. And the traditions really help us with that. It's not that easy getting a bunch of addicts together and trying to do stuff constructively in a meeting, you know? It's definitely there'll be power struggles or hurt feelings or arguments, different opinions. But the most important thing is recovering. So I think I'll keep coming back. Thank you.
Thank you, Betsy H. Okay, I'm going to take some more names, and I want to tell those of you who may have come in late, we're sharing on the second full paragraph on page XIX, the foreword to the second edition. The second paragraph that begins, "This was the substance of AA's 12 traditions." If you shared in the last 3 days, please allow others to give their names first. Who would like to share?
Susan G.
Who was that?
Susan G.
Susan G. Great. Got you, Susan. Who else?
Roz G.
Shabby.
Okay, I got Roz G. And there was someone near her. Carolyn, what's
your name? Denisha.
Say it again. Oh, Carol S. And then someone else.
Fanusha B.
Fanusha?
Yes.
Okay, great. Fanusha B. Anyone else?
Mandy S.
Mandy S. I think I could take one more if you'd like.
Marilee W.
Someone W. Who was that?
Marilee.
Marilee, got it. Thank you, Marilee. Okay, so we have Susan G., Roz G., Carol S., Fanusha B., Mandy S., and Marilee W. Please go ahead, Susan G.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. Susan G. calling from Los Angeles, California. Thank you, Sherry, for getting us going this morning and Team Thursday in December. I happen to love the traditions because for me, they are part of my spiritual progress and I take them with me each and every day, and especially step one, tradition one. And I love that God just kept on tapping on their shoulders because it was over a decade and they're thinking, we're recovered, we've done this, but we're still getting agitated. So as Sherry, you know, talked about that common welfare, how we all come together, I think about that when I go to work. Yeah, I do like to win, but I work in union with other people. In my family, I come from a large family, a lot of opinions. Some of them are stronger than mine, but I'm able to stand down now and think about what would be best for the group, working on intergroups, chairing different events. At the heart of it is what is best for us as a whole. And as was mentioned, you know, this force of rules or laws, but again, they are suggestions, but when we study them, which I don't think we do enough sometimes, you know, it really becomes very, very clear. And they help me on those days when I'm very, very jiggy to stay God-centered. So I'm not running around doing 110 steps, right? I just sit there, I pause, and I think about our common welfare. Susan, set aside what you think you know. Get out of selfishness and self-centeredness, and let's look towards what is best for one and all. So with that, I will pass, and thank you again.
Thank you, Susan G. And Roz G., please share with us.
Good morning. I'm Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is in the county of Los Angeles. And I was like, this isn't a mushy paragraph. This isn't like page 164, you know, where I get to be mushy and, you know, this is like talking about history and, you know, getting down to the books and looking at research and what happened in the past, which I really haven't done. I have a book about how the big book was written and it's just sitting there. I haven't really opened it up. And so, you know, I can only talk about what I've heard. And what I've heard in meetings over the years is that the steps are to prevent us from committing suicide, and the traditions are to prevent us from committing homicide. And I would think that the traditions were formed because of the selfish, self-centered, know-it-all, arguing early old timers. That's what I'm thinking. They needed something to say, wait a minute. We all want our way here. We're going to have to ask God to show us another way, as was shared, you know. And I, too, I have to live by a tradition-centered life. And I'm a member of a school site council meeting. I'm actually the chair of my school. I'm on, you know, and the principal has asked me to do it three times. I was really kind of surprised that, you know, I thought, okay, maybe somebody else, you know, maybe I ought to step down because, you know, I'm so used to 12-step life that, you know, we have to step down and let somebody else do it. But this guy's asked me to do this three times in a row, and I'm assuming it's because of the way I run the meetings, you know, and I just keep my mouth shut and let people have their opinions, and we have these parents that get angry, and I just say, thank you very much. I have learned how to keep my mouth shut and say thank you and move on to the next person and not give an opinion. Have I been perfect at that? No. I need the traditions to keep my ego at bay, to remind me that I am one of many, and I'm just another compulsive overeater. And I have to live by those traditions. Yes, at work, at home, in the program, or else I'm going to suck, and people aren't going to want to be around me, and I will be right back into the food. So I'm grateful for the traditions. It's not the most mushy topic, but it is. A lifesaver, as with the 10th step, so are the traditions. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. Carol S., please share with us.
Hi, this is Carol F., as in Frank, in Oregon, compulsive overeater in recovery. Thanks so much for this meeting and for being here, everyone. I'm very grateful for the tradition of group conscience. We had a meeting here, a local meeting before the pandemic, and we were deciding on what topic we would have as our for our meeting. And I very much was opposed to the idea of using the big book as our topic. I was afraid that newcomers would come in and hear all this stuff about AA and walk out the door. But fortunately, there were a few people in our meeting that really felt that was an important thing to focus on. And so Group Conscience decided that we would have a big book meeting. And that has made all the difference in my life and many others, as we all know. The big book is the way to go and has all the information we need to get where we need to go. So I'm really grateful that I lost that vote and others were more informed and more wise than I in that case, and that God's will prevailed in that meeting. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. I was actually the secretary of that meeting at the time, and I didn't get what I wanted. I'm really glad because the motto that I like to remember is regarding the big book is, when all else fails, follow the instructions. And right here is our textbook with all the instructions we need, and I'm very grateful that we have it. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Carol S. Fanusha B., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. It's the Fanusha B., recovered compulsive overeater. I really like this tradition. You know, it just reminds me, the first memory that comes to mind for me is when I first came into 12-step rooms, and I was newly married to the alcoholic, and with his in-laws, you know, we'd go out for a meal, and they would agree on an idea, and I would get so grumpy, like I was an ass, and so now I am going to want something different, and I'm going to go get my meal, and I'm going to sit with you guys to show you that I could make this decision, you know, but it was all done with this, just, you know, grumpiness to prove something to someone, or my fighting for my self-worth, and wanting to be seen and validated. And it left me empty-handed because I wasn't feeling connected by that kind of thinking and behavior, and it causes friction. And you know, it was in the beautiful rooms, in these rooms that I, you know, through those business meetings, sitting in it and participating in it, and just watching everyone, you know, come up with a, you know, when a suggestion is brought up. And just watching that process through business meetings, you know, people may have various opinions, or one person might have a difference of opinion. And, you know, we can listen to that person's difference. And, you know, mine certainly has been just being heard, validated, listened to, but it doesn't mean that we're going to agree on that difference of that decision, because we need to go with what the bigger kind of what is in union is being said, and be agreed on that, so that, you know, it's for the greater good. And just sitting through that process has really taught me how to navigate what's best for the group. And, you know, today I'm a lot more mature about those things, and I know that, you know, it's good for me to have an opinion. I can express it. And you know, if I'm grumpy about it after it, I can take that and have a 10-step, or take that to somebody. You know, I can process those feelings. And but I need to allow what is important for the group decision to happen, for both the safety and the longevity of the group. And so it's a great step. And I just hindsight watch who I used to be with, how I used to act in unity, and that is just a recipe for disaster. And so I am so glad for this tradition. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Fanusha B. Mandy S., please share with us.
Hi, this is Mandy S. Grateful to be on a meeting today. So these, you know, the traditions are there for a reason, and they're there so we, you know, can live by spiritual principles instead of by our own self-will. So, you know, when we have a disagreement, it's, we try to go with what is best for the group and not what is best for ourselves. So that's all I have. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mandy S. And Marla W., Mara Lee W., sorry.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
Good day, everybody. This is Mara Lee W. I live in the state of Colorado and a recovered compulsive overeater just for today. But yeah, I mean, I was listening to everyone share, and pretty much a lot of it's been said, so I'll give it my best stab. But I, too, am a huge fan of the traditions. One of the things that's sticking out to me, I guess, is today the remarkable unity of AA is one of the greatest assets that our society has. I was also thinking about, in We Agnostics, I believe it's that chapter, it talks about that lack of power is our dilemma. So, you know, coming into OA and being powerless over the amounts of food I'm putting in my body, and the decision to not be able to make the decision or manage my thoughts, the insanity around going back to the food over and over, or my behaviors around all that, is, you know, what brought me in. But also, I have found that lack of power is my dilemma in a lot of areas. I almost want to say all areas, but I want to say a lot. To not get so black and white, and within the traditions as well. So when I first started looking at these, for one, as I read the big book, what I hear is that the traditions are sprinkled all throughout it. It might not say this is a tradition, but just in the spiritual path that the big book takes. Also, you know, with urging us, like, not to condemn and criticize and so forth. And then also this place of, you know, coming in here, it's like, oh, I need to live up to all this place. But relationships is one of the hardest areas for me. Like, I have trouble with personal relationships. And so lack of power is our dilemma. But as I go through the steps, as I combine reading what the book says and hearing about the traditions, like, they're not this way out there thing. They just start to flow in the fact of going through wherever we're at in those, being willing to believe that there's a power greater than ourselves, is a part of unity and starting to bring in all of that. And then as we go, you know, we have steps 10 and 11 and 12. And so I don't even have to do this on my own. I don't have to figure out how to do the traditions. It just starts to become a working part of this spiritual journey. And for that, I am forever grateful, because there are so many times where I don't need to step out and control others today, but I can also have a voice at the same time. And to be able to find that gray area where God lives within that, you know, I desperately just love this design for living that points me in that direction without me trying to figure it out in my mind. So that's what I have.
Thank you, Marilee W. So we have time for two and maybe a third share. Who would like to share?
Janice K.
Janice K. Anyone else?
Mary Ellen G.
Jan G.
Okay.
Joan Robin L.
Okay. Mary Ellen, what was your last initial?
T is in Tango.
Okay. And I heard two more, but we'll only have time for
Janet
one more.
Janet G.
Okay, Janet, I'm sorry we won't have time for you. I'm sorry. That was Diana B. Is that what it was? Who was before Janet B?
John Robin L.
John Robin L.
Joan okay. Robin L.
Oh, Joan Robin L. Okay, that's it then. Janice K., please share with us.
Thank you so much. This is Janice K. in Oregon. Oh, boy. The importance of the traditions as a leveling field is maybe paramount. I remember another share from yesterday really appealed to me was a statement that there are, I think the statement was, program is the anvil and the steps are the hammer. And we are the object that has the character defects removed. How? Because we're caught between the anvil and the hammer, the steps and the traditions. And my heart goes out to people who feel they are defending their recovery, because I've been in that position where we had one group that said, you must do this to recover. You must. This is the only way. And for them it was. I understand that. And there was another group that followed a somewhat different path. And they said, no, we want to recover this way. This is where our recovery lives. And we are not going to do it your way. And they both were defending how they got well. Recovery is something that's more precious than gold to the recoverer. It's that important. And if it feels threatened, then every defense I have rises up and says, oh, you heathen, go burn that person at the stake. Well, that's not quite reasonable. But I understand. And eventually what happened with our two warring groups was no action was taken, and God saw them through. God, you know, eventually sort of one fell away and the one group just kind of diminished and left and the other group expanded. But the thing is, it is, as someone has been mentioned before, it's God's will, not mine. I have too big a stake in the game. I can't stand it if someone threatens my form of recovery. But thank you for listening, and I pass.
Thank you, Janice K. Mary Ellen T., if you could take just 2 minutes, we'll have a minute left for Joan Robin L. Go ahead, Mary Ellen.
You bet. Hey there, my name is Mary Ellen T., and I live in Oregon. And I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, but I need the daily reminder about just how deceiving my disease is. I really appreciated the person that shared about lack of power is my dilemma, because that's the whole problem with me and how I look at my life and how I view and interact with my life. As you know, I'm always trying to think that I can manage life, and this program teaches me that, you know, I've got to get a connection with God, and then these traditions start to teach me that the importance of unity. I remember I had somebody shared in a meeting about, you know, that they were in, it was important to be in the middle of the group, in the middle of the herd is what we say. You know, I'm not an outlier. I'm not trying to be different. I'm not trying to be unique. And that's just a big character defect of mine is, always thinking that I can do things a little bit differently and be able to get away with it. And once again, you know, lack of power is my dilemma. So, you know, how can I be in the middle of the herd? How can I practice these principles in all of my affairs so that, that the concept of unity shows up, that I have one of my hands is placed in my higher power's hands and my other hand is placed in your hands. And when I make those outreach phone calls and, I'm getting those opportunities to practice that unity. When I go throughout my day, I get the opportunity to practice the tradition and practicing these principles in all of my affairs. And I just appreciate how much you all share and how much I've learned and grown from you all. And that's it. I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Mary Ellen T. Jean Robin L., you have just about a minute and a half. Please share with us. You'll wrap up.
Thank you. This is Joan Robin L., recovered.
Go ahead, Joan. Joan Robin. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, please share.
Wonderful. This is Joan Robin L., recovered, and I am very grateful for this reading today. The steps and the traditions are the way I do my best to run my life, and I was actually in a situation where I was respecting the traditions of a meeting, which went over time, and it conflicted with an important call. And I knew it would cause ramifications for not taking that call. And I stayed and respected the meeting and the leader. In retrospect, I realized that I could have still been respectful, repeated that I need to leave promptly at 9:30. I have an important call, and respectfully leave and not feel as if I was being disrespectful to the meeting, because I expressed myself respectfully and I had no peace staying there. So for me, that was hands-on in how to work the traditions, take my own inventory, look at what I could do better under the situations that I was in. And I, needless to say, was very upset at first. And I realized my part, and I now know going forward how to handle it with respect for all parties involved. So thank you so much for listening. Joan Robin L., recovered.
Thank you, Joan Robin. And thank you to everyone who has shared and listened today. I'm very grateful for all of you being here. We are now going to close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, and then follow that with the Serenity Prayer. With Liz A., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Liz A., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us.
ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.